audiences got a chance to see a very different Jim Parsons this fall. He's probably best known as Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, the brainiac who can make a game of rock, paper, scissors complicated.
Anecdotal evidence suggests that in a game of rock, paper, scissors, players familiar with each other will tie 75 to 80% of the time due to the limited number of outcomes. I suggest rock, paper, scissors, lizard Spock.
But in the Netflix film of Mark Crowley's groundbreaking play, The Boys in the Band, Jim Parsons plays Michael, a gay man living in New York City in the late 1960s, who's throwing a birthday party for his friend Harold, if you could call him a friend. The party ends up being a disaster. Here's Michael speaking with his house guest, Donald, played by Matt Bomer.
Oh, you had to remind me. God, if there is one thing I'm not ready for, it is five screaming queens singing happy birthday.
Who's coming?
I think you know everybody anyway. And same old tired fairies you've seen around since day one. Actually, you know what? There'll be seven, counting Harold and you and me.
Are you calling me a screaming queen or a tired fairy?
Oh, I beg your pardon. There'll be six tired screaming fairy queens and one anxious queer.
The Boys in the Band debuted off-Broadway in 1968. The 2018 revival won a Tony, and the entire cast returned for the Netflix version. I spoke with Jim Parsons about the film back in September.
And I know you weren't around in 1968. You didn't know much of the play until you had the chance to read the script. But now I'm sure you know that this was a huge deal when it first came out. This was a year before the Stonewall riots ignited the gay rights movement. The play was shocking to people. No one was ready to accept gay men at that time.
No, and one of the seminal things about this play in 1968 was that it was the first time that gay men had been given the central characters, or the only characters, in any piece that was presented. And it was really one of the first, if not the first, look inside gay culture, gay, what it was to be a gay person inside their own homes and in their when they collected together. People found that intriguing and wonderful even. But it soon after Stonewall did happen and gay liberation began, and this piece has really gone through a tumultuous history as far as it being rejected in many corners at different times by the very community it aimed to represent, who said, we don't want to be represented this way. These people seem to be self-hating. They have to hide. And time has, I don't want to say time has been kind to this piece, but this piece is, I believe, vital and was such an open vein for the author, Mark Crowley. What he wrote was so truthful and brutally honest from what he knew and saw and had been a part of that it has stuck around.
Well, some people in the community might agree that self-hate is off-putting in this, but, you know, frankly, it's one of the themes up front and center. Here's a clip from your character, Michael. He seems to hate himself at times, the fact that he's gay. He spends money as a form of therapy. His friends give him a hard time for being broke. And here he is with a house guest, Donald. And I do have to warn people that we're about to push up against the limits of what's safe for public radio here. So let's listen.
I went shopping today, and I bought all sorts of goodies. Look. Sandalwood soap.
I feel better already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your very own toothbrush, because I am sick to death of you using mine.
How do you think I feel?
You've had worse things in your mouth.
Okay, so interesting thing about this production, as you well know, the cast is made up of nine gay men playing nine gay characters. Tell me about that. Did that change the dynamic at all among the actors or bring something different to the show?
It's hard for me to know what the ultimate effect of having nine out gay actors was on the show itself. For myself personally, it turned into a very powerful experience to be around all these gay men. I've never worked with a group that was all gay, or even probably half gay in most of the things I've done. And I didn't realize what I'd been missing. There is a specific thing about being gay. There is a specific thing about being a gay person, in this case, gay man, growing up in this country. You know, there's all these unique features that I kind of take for granted or don't give that much credence to. And when we were all together, there was just a feeling I had that it couldn't be taken for granted anymore. There was something important going on here.
Let's go back to the plot here just a little bit. As the night goes on in this party, it gets tense. An old friend shows up unexpectedly. He's married to a woman, but his sexuality is unclear. Then your character, Michael, suggests a game where each guest has to call someone that they've truly loved from their past on the telephone. Let's listen to this.
Now, here's how it works. If you make the call, you get 1 point. If the person you are calling answers, you get 2 more points. If somebody else answers, you only get 1. And if there's no answer at all,
you're screwed.
This turns out to be some sort of messed up party game.
Yes.
It's the point in the show. No, good. I'm glad to hear that because you seem like a nice guy. But and that's the point. I mean, at this point, you wonder if these guys really are friends at all. And Michael starts to show just a really cruel side, a dark side to his character. What's behind that tension? What's causing it?
One of the final lines in the play is the character of Harold that Zachary Quinto plays. He says to Michael, my character, you are a homosexual and you don't want to be, but there's nothing you can do about it. I do believe that's very much at the root cause of Michael's troubles. Michael and all these characters were living in a time where they were being told from all corners of what deviants they were. To me, one of the heartbreaking things, the premise of this game at its deepest point is to force, Michael wants to force each of them into going through this to realize how ridiculous the idea of true love is for a homosexual. That as a gay person, you will never know what it is to love, not in the way that everyone else gets to. And I just believe that they were living in a time that was teaching them that.
Is that something that resonates with you if you look back on your own life coming of age?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest blessings for me personally was that spending a couple of years essentially on and off with this cast, with this script, with this character, it really brought me to a place where, and it was a healthy thing. It wasn't overly painful. It was important, I think. But to realize that, you know, one of the blessings of the time that I live in as a gay man in America in 2020 is that there's not nearly the overt homophobic actions and statements and things to be exposed to every day. It's a completely different world than it was in 1968. The hiccup with that is that it makes it easier for someone like myself to ignore the more subtle ways in which I've been signaled in my youth, growing up, who knows, even now sometimes, little things that I'm like, oh, and you just kind of push it aside. But there is a part of me that does hurt. And to not acknowledge that nick, if you will, on your heart, on your soul, is to let it fester. I hope that makes sense. It's a little bit of a brain journey for you.
It certainly does. And you know what? Your Jim Parsons people love you. People know you as Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory. It's hard for me to even think of you as someone who isn't just loved by everybody. And I wonder how your fans respond when you take on a role like this. That is such a departure from this iconic character that you've become so well known for.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And it's one that, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but one that I kind of don't consider so much. I mean, the figuring out, as it were, remains the same now as it was for years now, which is, what's it going to be like to work with these people? What's it going to be like to work on this character? And in that process, what others will think of it is not, certainly not consciously, on my list of considerations.
Jim Parsons, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Before I let you go, I just want to bring it back one more time to the boys in the band. The playwright, Mark Crowley, as you know, died in March. There have been so many strides in the fight for equality. Is this play as powerful and relevant today as it was in 1968? And what do you think Mart would say about that?
I think Mart would be, frankly, a little bit surprised at the power and strength and longevity of his tale. I think that, like so many great works, they get realized their place in the canon, as it were, of great literature or moments in history much, much later. And partly that's because you can't know until it stood the test of time the way a piece like this has.
Jim, thank you for speaking with us, and thank you for your work. Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Jim Parsons speaking with me last September. The Boys in the Band is available on Netflix.